Our topic for the morning is In Remembrance of Me. You heard Will read the portion of the Passion narrative, including the Lord's Supper, from one of the Gospels. This morning we read Paul's account of the institution of the Lord's Supper found in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. I'll be reading verses 23 through 26. I invite you to listen for the Word of God. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The Lord's Supper holds a special place in the life of the church and in the lives of individual Christians. So it's not surprising that it occupies a prominent position in the New Testament. By that I mean that many, if not most, of the events in the life of Jesus are recorded in more than one gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, more than one of them. In fact, there are quite a few of them which are told in three of the four gospels, but there are very few incidents which are told in all four of the Gospels. The Lord's Supper happens to be one of them. Although admittedly in John, and I don't expect you to be able to read that, I'm just kind of giving you an idea of where they are. In John, the content, the form is somewhat different. But the Lord's Supper is even more distinguished. Not only is it recorded in all four Gospels, it is also recorded in still another book of the New Testament, the passage that we just read. Thus, we have five separate accounts of this one event. And the thing about this that is interesting about this fifth account is that it is considered to be the earliest one of all. Long before Mark's gospel, which was considered to be the first, was written, Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, carefully describes the event we call the Lord's Supper. But there is something else which is interesting, which is the focus of our reflection this morning, the phrase, "Do this in remembrance of me." The author of Luke is the only gospel writer who includes this phrase in his account. Hopefully you can see it enlarged there. And though we don't necessarily know if the traveler with Paul, listed in Acts as Luke, is the actual author of this gospel, we remember that the Luke that's mentioned in Acts became a Christian under the teaching and preaching of the apostles Paul. Luke's message came from Paul as he was intimately associated with him on his missionary journeys. And so it is interesting to note that only Luke and Paul make mention of this plea which Jesus made as he instituted the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. It is this earnest, wistful plea which we are to consider briefly this morning as we come to the table and fulfill it. What did Jesus mean when he said, "Do this in remembrance of me"? Why did he make this plea? Well, let's consider several reasons, ranging from the least to the most important, at least in my opinion. In the first place, Jesus makes this plea simply because he was desirous of having his friends remember him. Here was Jesus on the last night of his time on earth. He was about to leave his friends. There were his friends who had been with him from the earliest part of his ministry. They had been knit together by the strong ties of common experience. He loved them dearly. But now Jesus is preparing to leave them. The fellowship is nearing an end. How could they go on with such devotion and affection for him after he had left them? And yet, Jesus wanted them to love him always. He did not want to let go of them. So he was not ashamed to say these words by which their love and devotion might be warmed and freshened from time to time. He instituted this simple ceremony, and as he did so with pleading and yearning in his heart, he said to them, "Do this in remembrance of me." Secondly, not only did Jesus want his disciples to keep on loving him, he wanted them to keep on loving each other. He had had a glimpse that very night of how terrible it would be if the mutual love of his friends should wane when they began to quarrel among themselves as to who should have the seat of honor in the kingdom of heaven. He did not want the time to ever come when these friends, so closely bound together, would be rent asunder. After he had gone, how easily they might drift apart and be split up into factions. Then how easy it would be for their faith and their perseverance to be overwhelmed by the opposing forces of the world. How easily this little band upon whom the responsibility of establishing his kingdom had been placed might be overthrown unless they continued to love one another and work together. Jesus wanted to be sure that these, his friends, would go on loving each other wholeheartedly. And he realized that the very best way in which he could be sure of this was to make sure that they continued to love him. He knew that it was their common love for himself which had caused them to love one another in the first place. And he knew that only their common love for himself would be strong enough to overcome and cast aside their petty differences and fuse them into a lasting affection and love. He wanted them to stay together. They could be held together best by keeping them together in their love for himself. So he pleaded with them in his sacrament, "Do this in remembrance of me." But I am convinced that behind these two kindred motives, there was still another, the deepest and most significant motive of all. Jesus did want his friends and disciples to remember and love him always. And he did want his friends and disciples to love one another always and work together and not become splintered. But he wanted these things in order that they might always serve their fellow brothers and sisters as he had served them. When Jesus says to us today, "Do this in remembrance of me," he is saying that he wants us to remember that we must serve even as he served. When Jesus was on earth, he attracted all sorts of folks. Little children loved to climb into his lap. Beggars came to him without fear. The wicked, the despised, the scorned, the hated, the outcast went to him with the assurance that he would befriend them. Jesus wants us to remember this and understand that we can manifest our love to him only as we serve as he served. There are so many people today who remember only the pleasant ease and joy of being with Christ. They equate a religiosity with their hearts being warmed or their emotions stirred, or they think only of their relationship to Christ and Christ's own people. They never have time to think of and help those who are in need. So many of us who call ourselves Christians are making the same mistake Peter and James and John made on the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember that they became so enraptured with the glory of the transfigured Christ that they shrunk from going back down the mountainside to the plain where folks needed them. But Christ called them down off that mountain. So when Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me," perhaps what he is saying is, "Remember what I did. Recall who I loved and how I loved the loveless and healed the brokenhearted and lifted up the fallen and befriended the friendless. Remember how I was patient with the unappreciative and understanding with the indifferent. Remember this and do this for me." What Jesus wants us to do is serve. How do we honor the memory of those who have gone before us? How do we honor the memory of Jesus, the one we name Savior? Jesus tells us, do this in remembrance of me. Remember me. Love one another. Pattern your lives and ministry after my life and ministry. Do not look for me in others before you serve them. Rather, serve them because they are in my heart. Carry me with you wherever you go. Friends, as we do so, so we truly remember Jesus. As we break bread together, we do so in remembrance of Christ.